From small-town dreamer to global icon.
She's America's sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
Why does Taylor Swift inspire such devotion and criticism?
She's created a community on a scale never been done before.
Taylor on Channel 4. Stream now.
Hiya, just ringing to let you know I'm out getting some new season wear. Oh, like this cream roll neck jumper. Very snuggly. Oh, this stunning oversized coat. And all with up to 60% off. What? But it's still mild outside. Well, yeah, I mean, it is right now, James. But you've got to be prepared and all that, you know. Oh, hold on. Oh, look at this scarf. Stroll on down and wrap up in this season's hottest brands at Ashford Design Outlet. Discount on RRP.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Sorry, I didn't see you there. It's Friday night.
And it's time for chaos! We're back!
Season 3, episode 15. Six wow. to go.
Six toast. To go. Oh,
we're toast! This is going to be a very unique season for about 800 reasons. But we're here hanging out. You know, for you guys, it's just another week. But for us, this is special. Does it feel like a vacation to you guys, or does it feel like work or a workcation?
It doesn't feel like a vacation, but I definitely feel like it's.
I don't enjoy it.
No, fun.
Let me you really kind of set that
Listen,
up in a bad way.
Take it back.
This is definitely. I mean, it's definitely work because we prepare so much for this. You of all people, obviously, know this, but it's so much fun to hang out with you guys.
Likewise,
yeah. Like, we're not going anywhere doing it. Like, our highlight is, like, let's go get drinks and then get soup dumplings across the street and whatever and get to hang out. But, yeah, it's such a highlight for me. I look forward to this all year.
Yeah, this is a fun new tradition. It was an experiment. I don't want to say it's an experiment, but it was like this thing that when I said it to you guys last year when we were recording remotely, I'm like, wouldn't it be fun if we did this in person? It just felt like a pipe dream. And now that we've done it, it's like a drug.
Yeah.
It just enriches the experience to be able to play Take 10 and jump right back in. Like, you're so fresh with the material. And, you know, even though we're recording a lot in a short amount of time, there's no burnout because we lift each other up
the
by being
in
here in
room.
Person. Yeah.
The energy in the room is so great. Like, when you're role playing and.
Yeah. I also think you're so energized by how into the story you are in that marathon gaming style.
Like,
you know, so many details. You're aware of so many things that you can piece together, and that's fun.
Yeah, you're
when
in
you
it.
You have the big gaps, you especially in an investigation game, you lose details, and it takes a little bit of the wind out of your sails, you know?
Yeah.
Super in it. Sedge's not jumping onto my laptop.
Yeah. It's weird. In the way that, like, these games do things to your brain, it's neither work nor vacation, because in a way, when I think about this time, when I remember it, I'm not thinking about this table. I'm thinking about being in the volcano.
Yeah. It is. Like, it's like alternate universe.
We spend time kind of in this, investing in the imaginative space so much that it becomes so much more palpable.
Yeah.
Cool. It's also, it's just like, I don't know, that we were talking about this morning on the walk here. It's like, the end of the day, I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
You know, and all we were doing was sitting at a table. It wasn't even like a 13-hour film shoot or something like that where you had to run down the street or anything like that. It was just like, you just had to sit at a table with your buddies and play this game. Obviously, we know where there's cameras and all that stuff, but I don't think any of us really get that self-conscious about the cameras or the whatever, because it always just ends up falling into the five of us playing this game together.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, the end of every day, it's like, it's just gone.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, you lose time.
Yeah, you lose time. My brain turns to oatmeal by the end of the day. Like,
well,
it's
so emotionally draining.
Yes.
You know, and it's different than Gen Con. Like, Gen Con, you know, we're doing these shows for these hundreds of people or whatever, and that's a different kind of, like, adrenaline kicks in. You do a 2-hour show, you're like, oh, fuck. And then you walk and you do another 2-hour show. And then
everybody's talking to you out from point A to point
B. Yeah. And so that makes more sense why it's so exhausting. Well, you get that more than, at least than I can understand, at least at this point, of we're just hanging out. We're just hanging out and doing this thing. Obviously, there's emotional stakes and I'm very stressed. Today's been very stressed about these characters. But yeah, it's wordplay. I don't know how to, you got to combine them.
There's a whole, I don't know. It's good. It needs its own category. Cause we, I definitely feel like we jump into alternate universe us where we are trauma bonding over this very real experience.
Yeah. I mean, we have this cool studio. This is our third studio that we've had. When we started the company, we were in Joe's apartment and then in my apartment, we'd bounce around here and there. We would do Airbnbs when we have to record on the road and stuff. And we were sharing Airbnbs, Joe and I sharing a king bed on the road doing live
shows.
King if we were lucky. Skid sleeping in the shower. and then, you know, as we
An exaggeration.
As we said, I mean, really, as we started to have kids, we're like, we can't, we know this is coming. This chapter of our life is about to change. We got to get a studio. So we got a small little studio. Then we got an awesome, huge, way too big studio. And then COVID hit. And then we shut it down. And we realized at a certain point, we got to get back in person for the main show, at least. And we did that for a while. But it's an unused space. It seems crazy not to find a way to use it. And so it warms my heart that we can do it for a show like this that is personally, you know, so special to me, but also like, I don't know, it's just, I feel like this campaign deserves as much stuff as you can throw at it to be able to play this in person, to finish this someday and to come out here in another 5-6 months and do some more. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
So we're going to take a little break and then we're doing like an episode 15 climax. This is going to be a real weird one. I'm nervous. Stay tuned.
The holidays sneak up really, really fast sometimes, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have a little fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists or small businesses, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. So I've actually been using Uncommon Goods for years. A while ago, I bought some custom wall art for my wife where you uploaded a section of a song, and then the artist took a look at the waveform and crafted a piece of wall art that looked like that. So we chose a special song, and now it's hanging in our apartment. But that's just one example. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so you have to shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 back to a nonprofit partner of your choice. To date, they've donated more than $3 million. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/canon. That's uncommongoods.com/canon, C-A-N-N-O-N, for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Hello, beautiful. It's me, Bert Bukowski. I'm here to tell you that The Bert Show premieres Tuesday, November 4th. The Bert Show is an incredible show filled with comedy, music, games, and interesting people answering stupid questions. You can subscribe to The Bert Show wherever you listen to your podcasts and watch episodes on the Forever Dog YouTube page at Forever Dog Team, all one word, like martini.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes, those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
Folks, we're back. We didn't even realize until our amazing cameraman, Mr. Matt Brody, told us that today's Halloween. You're watching this on Halloween.
Halloween night.
It doesn't get spookier than this.
Oh, God. I'm so scared. Amazing.
Yeah. I'm really scared.
The ghosts are coming out. The ghosts of Carter.
Yeah.
And the ghosts of Vaughn and Peruse.
Not dead yet.
Ghost of Audrey Penhue.
The ghost of Audrey. Maybe. Ghosts are out. I had to keep the lights the same as last week. Like, how do you change them? These flickering lights. How cool is this?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We don't know the pale. He mentioned he was the pale. I'm going to stop talking.
There was so much to talk about.
Right, yeah.
But it was the last clue that you got about this was that telegram that said PV.
Yes.
And it was obviously to Aubrey Penhue.
And we've seen his photographs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he's looking a little young in the face.
Yeah.
All right.
There it is. Let's do a luck roll, huh? Let's just get it out of the way so we can enjoy the rest of our night.
Sure.
Yeah, because this is what I'm really
29.
It is my hopes and dreams on.
And then we'll do a hit point roll.
No more luck for Dr. Wesley, Marion Wesley Walsh.
Okay.
All right. Oh, you got it? Yeah, I got it. Come on. Get a 10 bagger. One.
Gosh. 3 points. I'll take it.
For
10.
Yes!
Oh, finally!
Failures!
Sorry, I'm always still trying to remember this game. You cannot spend luck on a sanity roll ever.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been luck on sanity.
Or a push.
Or a pushy.
So those are the only three where you can't spend luck. A luck roll, a sanity roll, or a push roll.
You can't spend luck on like a damage roll, but you can. Yeah. You can't spend luck on combat rolls.
Yeah, there's other little small things.
You can't push combat rolls.
They're more obvious, but what was the tarot from last week?
So we had the 9 of wands in reverse that I had read at the
right,
top.
We already did
so it was like calamity.
Yep, we got disaster.
Horrible shit, disaster. Yep. We're fucked, basically.
Perfect box.
Yep.
And we were.
Yeah.
Right. So we had that card. We had that card before, which was interesting.
Yeah, to have that come back.
In reverse as well. Like we were just, you know, we knew it was coming.
All right.
So
reverse 9 of wands.
While the shuffling's happening, can you talk me through real quick? Because I am 1 point away from a fifth of my sanity.
So
if I lose 1 point in today's episode, think that might happen? What happens? It's indefinitely insane.
Yeah, you go indefinitely insane. What does that really mean? It means that you will immediately suffer a bout of madness, and any further sanity loss from then on is another bout.
No matter how small.
Which is where Vaughn is at this point.
And a bout of madness really just kind of comes down to the keeper just
it can last as long as I want. A bit. You know, for you guys, that was the perfect loss of sanity. You just scatter and get lost in the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's enough to just kind of throw you off. But then you come out of it and you're far away from your friends.
It was very cool. The imagery was so cool because of the cowls and everything. It's like you could see it happening. You just like turn, all of a sudden you get lost. Everybody's wearing the same outfit.
Yeah.
And you like look at somebody, you're like, you know, is that Vaughn? Like, no, that's not Vaughn. Is that Feyruz? No, that's not Feyruz. Like, oh my gosh, where is everybody?
Yeah, I also really feel cool. Like the giant fish Goliath walking past and like making release snap. And then like in the cinematic version of this, you would just hear like a heartbeat, like a pulsing.
Thump, thump.
Yeah.
It's like being in a room up against a wall while like the xenomorph is walking by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're literally like, please just don't see me. Like, oh my God, so scary.
You've never seen anything like that, especially you.
Yeah.
They've seen dragon flying creatures, these things that were conjured outside of Miser House. But for you, that's the first time you see that. And that's a lot.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't really see the cat monster, right? You didn't really
I saw the monster in the...
You warned me not to look at the... I remember you, as we were getting out of there, you warned me not to look at something.
It must have been the cat.
The
cat monster that was inside of the. Oh my gosh! What the
fortune teller?
Fortune teller.
Mr. Lang. Yeah.
So like I was.
I have no quarrel with you.
That is my only experience with the blatant unnatural in your face as a character,
yes.
And I think, and that's what was going through my mind when Marion was talking to Soje Taro and saying like this shit is real.
Yeah.
Like it was that situation. So that's his only exposure. But I mean, after being with you guys for, you know, as long as we have, how long has it been? Has it been a couple weeks in Shanghai?
April 1st was when you made land. So it's been 17 days.
So it's been 17 days. And like in that short amount of time, obviously staying together all day, every day, he's grown to trust you completely. And so your accounts of what happened previous are no longer the ravings of a madman, but instead, holy shit, every single one of those things really happened.
Yes.
And if you are able to survive this and meet up back with Feyruz and or Vaughn and talk about what they discovered in that workshop, it corroborates all the evidence they had about what they did at Henson Manufacturing if you needed to still
clear. You know what else was cool that I didn't mention last week is there was a small little shred in the back of my mind in this, the 29th year of the Quang Tzu Emperor. We have arranged for many ships of our enemies to the north and to the east to meet their end beneath the waves to cement our treaty with those who dwell below.
Yeah.
Which I pitched to Asoje Taro as like some unnatural thing that they, but there was always that little piece in the back of my mind as a player and as a character that like maybe they just co-opted that. You said that, I think, Nora, like maybe they just took these natural disasters and pitched it to these followers and deceived them to think that these natural disasters were actually the will of their god or whatever. Well, as soon as he sees the fish people, it's like, well, close the book on that. Like case closed.
Well, I just saw a fish person.
They are attempting to bring a natural disaster to bear right now.
Yeah.
It is happening again.
Right. Yep. But is a nuclear bomb a natural disaster in its own way?
Like, no way. It's tampering with the forces of nature.
Right.
Yes.
And they salt. They said they will salt the earth.
Salt the heavens. Uh-huh.
Salt the heavens.
They'll salt the heavens.
And that in turn is going to salt the earth, right? Like you're not going to be able to grow anything. Everything's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Poison metal.
Yep.
There's an aspect of this the insanity that I feel like we've never touched on, a mechanical thing in the game. But we had an example of it in the last episode where Vaughn, in the throes of a bout of madness, saw his friend, Oberon Doyle. Mm-hmm. And this could be, in game terms, be called like a delusion, perhaps. And something that's at your disposal if you're undergoing a bout of madness is to do what the game calls a reality check, if you so choose, where you can roll, I believe it's your intelligence, to see if you can see through the delusion. Ooh. If you succeed, then the keeper has to tell you what's actually going on. But if you fail, you lose one point of sanity and you immediately rebound.
Oh my god.
Well, I should do that. As a very intelligent person, I've got a good shot.
Okay.
Good odds on that.
If you look at like the table of the bottom.
Sorry,
of madness,
it's a sanity roll. It's a sanity roll.
Oh, poop.
Each of them have their immediately own. Be like, you're wrong. Yeah.
I pretty much do custom bots of madness for everything, but they could all fall into a category from the keeper handbook. If you ever wanted to gamify it like that, they give you rules for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they tend to be high risk, high reward.
Exactly. We almost never do that because the delusions that we come up with are so apropos to the characters that it just feels so.
I loved you seeing Oberon and Feyruz hearing her mother, and I loved how that whole chef's kiss. Very loved
cool.
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like
it's my turn to pick.
It's your turn. Oh, it's your turn. Oh, yeah.
All right. I don't know that I picked yet, but
you have it. Okay. Go for it.
Tell me when to stop shuffling.
Stop.
Oh, okay.
Would you like top card or cut?
Top. Oh. Top man.
Oh.
Six of Pentacles. We had this card again. We've had this card before.
The six one?
We've had this card before.
At five.
We've had this. This card was pulled on the episode where Feyruz accepted the proposal of Madame Lin Yang Yu, and it was the balance of giving and receiving. That I remember that joke. Yeah. If we remember that joke,
so one of us is going to have to. All right.
I'll reiterate.
Sir Aubrey.
Maybe after the half, I'll reiterate and elaborate on it, but so that we don't kind of metagame this.
Interesting.
It's interesting that now the second episode in a row that we pull another card.
Another duplicate.
Very cool.
Six. I feel like Pentacles is never bad, never good. It's always...
Is 85% of that deck Pentacles?
So many goddamn Pentacles. There's four suits and then a major arcana. We just happen to really pull Pentacles when
A
lot of pentacles.
You know, there's a lot of upside down pentacles.
Yeah. Representative of the ratio.
Ever had a pulled pentacle? Oh, boy.
Thor's over there pulling pentacles like it's no thing.
You never want to pull too hard on a pentacle.
God, it just writes itself.
Thank you and good night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Oh my God.
You know, these sessions can be very stressful for a million reasons, right? Especially if you hold your characters dear, you worry about their fate. For me, like, I want a pitch perfect session that delivers to an audience. So there's stress on my part. But something I mentioned to you off camera that is sort of this, I don't know if it's attributed to a friend of the network, John Harper, or not, but I've seen it before in talking about games like Blades in the Dark and the Forge in the Dark type games, is like you play to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I have all these ideas, we're going to play and we're going to find out what happens. And it might end up really well for your heroes. So far, it has. No one has died. Sometimes there are fates worse than death. But right now, we're going to figure out where this story goes in a very climactic episode here in this caldera of a dormant volcano. Let me show you a picture here. This is another image from the book that kind of really spells out
what God, that world. Artwork of the fish man is awesome.
Yeah, that
is that
large
a crab claw?
That large one there is
One's got a crab claw.
It's the 14 footer that walked by you.
I love his like huge belly, like blah, blah.
I mean,
mohawk,
our listening audience,
hawk.
Just picture fish people. Fish people lording over people with the... Like, oh, let's look at their little... They've got the little sludge caps on.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, those sludge caps. You ever seen that episode of Futurama, I think, where they have the thing on their head?
Yes, it was the brain... the episode where the brains were... attaching themselves onto the kind of parasitic.
It kind of looks like that. Like they're definitely
little
like
nubs and spikes on them. Yeah. Okay. Well,
so there's some with tridents that are like the foremen that are bossing them along. Yep. And then this big one that is just like,
Desmond would have a lot to say about this tableau in terms of the labor.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
They need to unionize.
You come into this caldera, you see just, when I say 50 some odd cultists, workers, some that have these oily skull caps that you now realize are part of this living, bubbling black pool, maybe some sort of mind control going on. There are fish people that are sort of directing them to take stuff out of the sludge pit and put it in the magma pit. Above the magma pit is a rocket. A weapon, a super weapon that you now realize only needs a couple more components put together to be finished. But you've got the trigger, you've got the warhead, and you've got the guidance system. But because of what you did at Henson Manufacturing, it slowed down the process. And Sir Aubrey, or the Pale Viper, who you now realize are the same person, is upset at this. There's communications with Robert Houston in Australia about what he's got going on over there, again intimating that there is business to be done in Australia and that another member of the Carlisle expedition is alive and working to bring Nyarlathotep back. You make your way through the room trying to examine what is this process here. You see other cultists just sort of commenting, oh, isn't this beautiful? They're getting ready for something. There are prisoners in a cage. There's this giant statue with decaying limbs hanging on it. You see this giant fish person come by and it scatters you. Carter and Marion and Vaughn all have a mental break, but Carter and Marion just kind of run away from the source of it. They find themselves in different parts of the room, but they reconnect and they sneak into this little Egyptian room. It looks like a weird lounge of all Egyptian artifacts, like a dragon's hoard, like someone could just sit there and be amongst all this Egyptology, all these artifacts. I said $1 million worth of stuff in there, probably. But as you're searching the room, you find a secret room behind this throne. You pull a cord and you go back there and there's just a sarcophagus. A sarcophagus with like a man's face on it, which you now know is Sir Aubrey Penhew. There's a vial connected to the inside of it. What the fuck's going on here? Is he sleeping in there? Is someone else sleeping in there? Is he going to sleep in there? Meanwhile, Vaughn and Fayrouz pulls Vaughn out of his stupor, brings him into this room behind this these closed doors, these interleaving doors where only one can be opened at a time. You go in there and it's the workshop. You see the trigger, you see the mechanism, and you find what you think is a radioactive warhead. And you take it. After destroying some of the prototype parts of the guidance system, grabbing journals, telegrams, diaries, you take the warhead and you go out. And you go out to see the ritual has begun. All of these cultists in their voluminous robes swaying back and forth at what looks like one giant black wave. They're banging on gongs. They're piping bamboo flutes. They're chanting. They're moaning. Everyone is involved in this. And you look up and you see a fat Chinese man lording over the ritual. Calls one of the prisoners up and they're holding the prisoner. The prisoner's like, no! Gnaws off one of his arms with a sickle, rips it off, and throws it as a gift to his goddess, the bloated woman. Meanwhile, Carter and Marion go to escape the room with the sarcophagus, and standing there is Sir Aubrey Penhew, aka the Pale Viper. Let's pick up there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, in the pictures that you saw of him, he had like graying hair. He looked old. But now, he looks virile. His hair is brown. He's getting his life back. You start to think back to what Jack Brady said, that when they came back, they were changed. That Penhew looked stronger, more virile, and now you see it. This is an old man. You destroyed his... The person that took over for him, Edward Gavigan, back in London, the one that took over for the Penhew Foundation. Because Sir Aubrey had bigger fish to fry. Gavigan was sending him parts. On a letter from Gavigan, this man stands before you. Like he said, oh, you were admiring my resting chamber. I have something I have to attend to, but I was told you are here, and here you are. He continues, the great pharaohs would often have their image emblazoned upon their sarcophagi to indicate their status, both in this life and the next. Oftentimes, this image would be accompanied by hieroglyphs providing a map or a guide of the pharaoh's hope for their life to come. I thought it fitting that mine be carved in a similar manner, though unlike the pharaoh's, I do not mean to rest there for eternity. No, no. On January 14th, 1926, great gate will open. Thanks to my work here. I can only take so much credit, of course. Many are involved all around the globe. So many tirelessly working, even as I speak, to usher in a new age, to awaken the great Nyarlathotep from his stasis. When he rises and enters our world in his many forms, the sky will open up, the stars will be right, and we will be one step closer to cleansing. Don't you see? Don't you see how fruitless your efforts are? It is already in motion. And when that happens, I will celebrate, but only briefly. For there is so much more work to be done. I will retire here to this chamber for a well-earned rest. There is gas inside that will allow me to sleep peacefully for months. Then I will awaken with a god at my side. And a new world to begin. And no one will stand in my way. And he reaches out towards you, Carter.
Uh-huh.
I need.
Can I react in some way? Opportunity attack. Bah, bah!
I cast fireball.
What is your dex?
40?
I need a con roll.
I'd like to react.
You have a gun that is readied, hidden within your robes. You have mentioned this. That adds a plus 50 to your dex. So we are in combat. So RB Penyu, with this spell that he is casting, is an instantaneous spell, which also adds a plus 50 to his dex, which is higher than both of you.
So I see his mouth moving and I can't do anything. He's just going.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Out of the conceit
of
bad guy speeches.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You could tell me you ready a firearm under your robe. I'm fine with that. He will still go first.
Sure. Okay. All I'll say is I want to grab a hold of the vial.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm.
So okay, con roll? He's speaking, you grab a hold of the vial. You already have your gun. Are you cocking it? Are you getting it ready? And the reason this is important is for who goes next.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to, it's so hard for me to not gamify it.
Sure.
So I'm going to just go with,
this is big stuff.
I'm going to go with what I really,
big stuff.
I'm going to go with what I really felt, what I really saw in the moment, which is, I think that Dr. Marion Wesley Walsh, when he begins speaking a spell, knows he has to stop him from doing that. Mm-hmm. He has to shut him up. He also...
Let him speak.
Exactly.
You cast a spell on us.
It's already too late for that. But in the instant that he acts, I think he also is aware enough of how deep we are in here, behind all of these people.
Enemy lines.
That it will kill us immediately, he feels, in the moment, to just fire a bullet. Unless you tell me that the drumming is so ear-piercingly loud that a gunshot would not be heard.
Right.
Like, is that the case? Or do I think that the report would echo throughout the entire thing and take everyone's attention?
I think that it is very, very loud out there. And your life, Carter's life, Beiruz, Vaughn, not to mention Chang.
Who we have not seen.
Lest we forget.
Don't laugh about Chang.
Where is he?
I feel
we need him right now.
I want
Marion, it was very clear.
ASX Chang.
Had
Let's
a strong
go.
Connection with Chang.
I like Chang.
Yeah.
You feel like that the risk is worth the gamble.
Okay,
like, but it is definitely a risk, and you should feel that. I'm not saying, no, it won't alert.
Yeah.
Let's make it part of the story.
This is actually, I ask not to get metagaming. I ask to, it's purely narrative. Like, describe to me the volume level of what's happening.
Yeah.
If it sounds like there's a chance that-
You know this, Godfather 2?
This drumming is so
when
loud.
When De Niro, kills the mob boss, and there's the Feast of San Gennaro or whatever going
on. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, psh, they're lighting fireworks off.
Yes.
And he shoots the, it's that situation, right?
Okay, great. Good to know.
Or just grab
then
a pillow.
Then I'm going to pull up my gun and try to shoot him in the mouth.
Okay.
Take.
Where are you going to shoot him?
Take his ensorcelling tongue.
In the
mouth.
In his soft opening.
In his soft opening. Right from there.
Get that soft opening.
So soft. No, he's got it. He's up in the folds of this thing and he just, slow-mo, we see him whipping up
the loose
stuff and he's just going to try to three shots. Bang, 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 bang.
Pop, 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 pop. Give me a con roll.
Oh, my God.
Son of a bitch, I can't handle it.
18 under 65.
Oh, yes! Carter Tillinghast!
That's my man.
You are a hero.
I don't know if it matters, but obviously that's hard.
It does matter, because you needed a hard success to withstand this spell attack. So basically, he reaches out towards you, says, Yog-Sothoth, and a wave of energy just gets blasted at you, like an invisible fist flying at you that pushes you back. It would have sent you across the room. And you are
skittering
able
on the floor.
You were able to stay standing. Your back is now up against the sarcophagus, but you are fine. Did not expect that.
Don't he? Tilling
not gonna lie.
You play to find out.
You play to find out.
Dr. I don't buy it.
Marion Wesley Walsh.
What do you do?
He is going to point blank fire into his mouth.
All right, that's three shots. No penalty dice, nor any bonus dice. They're going to negate each other out. Point blank gives you bone. Multi-shot gives you a pen. Bang, bang, bang. Firearms are off.
I'd like to argue for a bonus.
Oh.
Two bonuses outweigh one penalty. Huh? He cannot assume I have a gun in my hand at the moment that he's doing this. It's hidden beneath the robes. We're carrying other things. We just look like we're walking around. He probably thinks he would have multiple seconds for us to fumble around or whatever. I don't think he's defending against this in the least.
That's fair. That's what's allowing you to even do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Three rolls.
Straight up.
Three shots.
Come on. You have to save Kata.
You have to.
55 on 55.
Oh! Woo!
Regular success.
I had a little bit of a Pendragon moment. When you get on the score in Pendragon, it's a crit.
It's a critic.
So yeah. I was like, oh!
Okay. Oh, that's right. This season sponsored by Chaosium. Go to Chaosium.com. Use code TFC2 and buy Pendragon.
Yeah, contrary to popular opinion,
there's a lot going on.
This episode is not sponsored by Halloween.
Take
all right, one hit.
Take TFC two more shots.
Take TFC. Oh no, I miss a second one.
Okay,
that's one shot.
Pop.
Come on.
Crit this shit.
Hard success on the third.
Okay, so
not extreme.
Two hits.
I can spend luck on a combat roll
to turn it into extreme success.
There is precedent.
Is there precedent? Did we do that?
Yes. We just did it.
To turn a hard into an extreme to get impale damage?
Yes.
Is that not how it should be?
Precedent has
been set. I think it is, and I'm not going to lie, gross. But the reality is, there is precedent.
I need to know whether or not to lower my arms. I'm just...
You guys should just have in studio
the reason I ask
barrister's
is because I don't,
wig it, that you the reason put on I, when you make these cases.
The reason I ask is because I don't have to spend a preposterous amount, in my opinion. I only have to spend 9 luck.
Yeah.
It's not even 10 to make it an extreme. Impaling. Sir Aubrey Penhew, success.
Okay. It's gross.
It's disgusting.
You're gonna go home tonight and feel
sleep
bad
like
that
a
you
baby.
Did it.
As long like as Carter's alive, I'm sleeping like a
okay.
baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, it's your call.
Yeah,
whatever
no,
you want.
The precedent has been set. I'll allow it.
All right. 9 luck gone. See ya. Worth.
There's
you
nothing.
Think it's gross?
No.
There's
you
nothing.
You think it's gross, Ross?
There's
what
nothing
would
you
that
do? Says you can't
you,
do a burgeoning
you do?
Keeper.
Yeah, what would you do on pushtheroll.com?
There's an optional rule. We need optional
Side
rules
sponsor.
Around it.
Well, but, on Push the Roll with Ross Bryan, my podcast.
Maybe you've heard of it?
Perhaps you've heard of it.
I feel like players go into these situations knowing that death is probably certain. Because, you know, these are one-shots. So these sorts of, like, persnickety, gamified moments are rare. But... the chips are down. We've been together for a long time. We're facing off against the Pale Viper.
Stakes are high.
The stakes are high. So, yeah, I mean, this is the letter of the law of the rules. You can spend luck on combat rolls to raise the level of success. This is...
Them's the rules,
this
Troy.
Is a
my
huge
understanding,
moment.
And this is from Michael, is that it doesn't say you can't do that anywhere.
Right.
It doesn't specifically say you can change the degree of success of a combat roll with luck. It just says you can spend luck on a combat roll.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading the tiny little paragraph on
it's
luck.
So tiny.
On page 99.
Yep.
And there's just nothing here that says you can't do it. So it's up to me. And I think you can do it.
All right.
So
let's
moved.
Go.
So
okay,
one
now.
Regular hit and one max dam plus a dam roll.
Okay.
You don't get a damage
bonus. Could be garbage
bonus.
Damage. Could be, but let's see.
Right. Well, you are rolling.
So he's, so he's rolling for the first
again,
shot.
Slow motion.
The first regular shot.
Pulls it up and just push. The kickback from the first one makes the second bullet fire away up past his head. And then he levels it again right in his mouth.
It's me, Carter.
Okay.
Cut to the ritual where all the cultists look towards the sound.
Yeah.
You fucker.
Do you want me to tell you the total at the end?
Tell me that damage you just rolled.
I just rolled 7 for the first bullet.
On a D8.
On a D8. Okay. 7 for the first bullet. Then 8 plus...
Then it's max damage plus another D8?
Yeah. 7 on the second. 15 plus 7. 22. Baby! I said it was in his mouth.
You shot him point blank 3 times. Two times in the face.
A spell at my
in
friend
the soft
Kata.
Opening.
Right in his soft opening.
Right up his soft palate. So
22 points of damage right in Sir Aubrey Penhue's face.
Now that would kill Von Villiers, but good 2 times over.
Yep, same thing with Dr. Marion Wesley Walsh.
But what of the Pale Viper?
But what of the Pale Viper? You hit him twice in the face, and he falls to the ground.
Okay.
Falls to the ground, bleeding out. It is Carter's turn.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
He's wide-eyed, terrified, never shot a man that close. Well, actually, no, we shot the handsome boy modeling school at the...
Carter's like mask is now mirrored by a blood splatter that has gone...
Yeah, I'm going to say he's got blood on his face, yeah. too. And he starts like wiping at it like reflexively. And
Or wait. Or we shut him in this fucking thing. We put him in the sarcophagus.
No.
I have the stuff.
Oh, shit.
I took it.
I'm not here.
Are we also in initiative?
Yep, you're okay. In initiative, so it's Carter's turn.
Is he dead? Why don't you see if he's dead? He said he fell. He may not be dead.
He might not be dead. So it's either, if he's not dead, we should just leave. If he's not dead, we could also shove him in the sarcophagus.
You could also...
No, if he's not dead, we need to execute.
Kill him.
Okay. Can I look and check his vitals?
Look down at Sir Aubrey Penhue. He is lying on his back on the floor amidst all of his Egyptian collection.
Uh-huh.
And the blood is like spurting out of his cheek at the same speed of a heartbeat. Just like... He's got a hole now in his beautiful little cheek that's just... He's just looking up at you with crazy eyes.
Can't speak now, can you, motherfucker? Bet you want this shit. I'm like, I'm gonna hold up the vial to see how he reacts.
Wide-eyed.
All right, I want to stomp on his head.
Oh! Oh my god, it's so vicious.
Do it.
What a curb stomp.
You want to curb stomp Sir Aubrey Penhue?
Yeah.
Hop his head like a grape.
Yeah, I want to.
You want to crush the head of the snake?
Yep.
All right.
Episode title.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a brawl roll with a bonus die.
Come on, god damn it.
And I will say, a fail remains a fail, but any level of success will be bumped up.
Okay.
A regular will be a hard, and a hard will be an extreme.
Wow.
He is helpless.
Brawl. 19 under 82.
Describe your kill.
Oh, yes!
I mean, I'm sorry, oh, everybody.
I love milk sorry. This for it's every second.
Gaping just, open hole. Fucking Carter walks up to him and just goes, I don't know, what's a shit? Some good snake joke, motherfucker. Slither out of this and just fucking stomps on his whole face so it just like splits.
Sir Aubrey,
off.
You're looking a little pale.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so you just separate his jaw from his skin.
Yeah. No more casting spells.
Oof. He ain't pretty no more.
Oh my god.
Do you head out?
I am going to grab like a couple small artifacts.
Okay.
Like anything that seems like small that I could just like grab.
Okay.
Because I don't know what could be valuable to the fight against this or the summoning rituals or any curse.
You're just grabbing shit.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, you know, if it's this big, I'm not carrying it.
Right.
If it's like a small trinkety kind of thing, he's just going to like grab it and shove it in the robes. And he just like whips, you know, he keeps the gun, 3 bullets in it. He's not going to reload right now. He just sort of like, you know, whips the robe over it, hides it. And then he's just going to like try to grab whatever, the one thing.
One thing.
It seems small and easily transportable.
And then you go out.
Yeah.
Well, wait. Maybe we should. We're in the secret room.
We're in the doorway.
You're kind of like in the passageway between the
but
secret room.
Where is he?
He's like lying on the ground in the room with all the valuables.
I say we drag him into the secret room and shut him in there. So nobody, if anyone were to walk into this room, they don't see him.
Yeah, they'll see the blood all over the floor, but yeah, I guess you're right.
There's blood all over everything.
There's got to be a rug. Okay. I mean, this is the living room, right? There's a rug
on
the mat.
In that case, like, if you're cool with this, then forget what I said about grabbing something, maybe in a second, but he's going to pocket the pistol and carry and drag the body in.
Okay.
Sarcophagus, or just pull him in the room and close the door?
Let's assume not many people are allowed into the sarcophagus room.
Agreed.
So let's just shove him in there.
So slide him in, pull the thing.
You just see his body with a half, like, dismembered head as this door
and as
closes.
The door is going down, you just see Carter like this as the...
We cut to Carter's view.
Like, bending down lower and lower so he could really see.
There you go, Mr. Brady. There you go, Jack. And I'm going to try to reach out and grab an artifact, something of interest. You know, you can tell me later.
I don't think you should touch shit. I think we should get out of here. You never know.
Listen, he's not taking counsel on this right now.
Okay.
We're running out and he just like grabs something.
So he's like, Mario, no, Mario, no.
Oh, do you say that?
Yes. Don't touch anything.
He's like reaching out to grab. I just almost broke my microphone. So he's like reaching out to grab it. He says, no.
Leave it, Elsa.
What if we needed to stop them?
You don't know what any of this does. Right.
And he goes back into his pocket, pulls out his gun. He's going to look. Can I do a spot hidden to see if any attention is drawn this
Sure. way?
Looking through the opening. And if it's not, I'm going to reload my gun real quick. Put 3 bullets in it. Fail the spot hidden.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. There's a lot going on.
Here, I'll look too. Is there all right? Can I look? I would have said that. No.
I'm going to, hearing all that chanting and everything, he's going to... Wait, 1 second, Carter. Let me load this. And maybe he like drops a bullet, bend down, pick it up, and then puts 3 in the chamber, and then puts it again under his robe, but in his hand.
Okay, and Carter, what do you do?
Pocket the vial, just get like a knife out under the robe, just so it's there.
Okay, so you go out there and you move out there and you're pretty quickly swept up into this. And we cut back to Vaughn and Feyruz.
My man, pots and pans, yes!
Vaughn and Feyruz, you just witnessed a prisoner, an innocent, have their arms severed from their body, ripped off, and thrown onto the statue. I need a sanity roll from the two of you.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Don't look, Vaughn.
Apologies.
36, under 86.
I rolled a 90.
It's
not a fumble, but it was bad. I was worried it was 100.
Okay. You lose one. You lose 1d4 plus 1.
Oh my god.
For witnessing this ritual.
Where are you at total?
I have 16 total.
Oh my god.
This is about no matter what, because I'm indefinitely insane. I'm losing 4 points of sanity.
Okay, and that would be another break here where you are indefinitely insane. You are holding a radioactive warhead.
I am.
You are. Let's get into what this means for you.
So yes, I just beheld this horrid ritual, this music blasting at me.
You look up at this victim and you just see the pain in their eyes as just blood is spurting out of this thing, and you see more cultists grabbing another prisoner and bringing them up the steps, and the prisoner looks at you and it's your brother.
Bertie.
And he's like, Vaughn, help me, Vaughn!
Does Feyruz hear? Do you say this out loud?
Yeah, I think so. Or you've at that level of volume?
She smacks him like really hard. It's not Bertie. It's not Bertie. Come back to me. We've been through this. I'll keep your head down. Don't look at anything. We have to get out of here now.
So, could we interpret this as a psychoanalysis role to maybe get me out of it?
Sure. Do you want to try and really snap him out more quickly instead of letting this run its course in this moment? Because I'd say you're...
Let it run its course.
Psychology or persuade? Is it...
It's really tough. I mean, this would have to be an extreme psychology role.
I don't have psychology. Yeah. I have psychology. I don't have psychoanalysis.
Extreme persuade. Charm.
I mean, I know there's the psychological aspect of it, but what about an extreme brawl? Like you just whack him so hard that it just it rings
the bell. Or use a fighting maneuver to hold to physically hold him back.
Well, yeah. Can I use a fighting to?
I just don't want anyone to notice this to going down. That's the big thing. It's like how can you keep it?
You want to physically restrain him.
Yeah, I just want to kind of like cover.
Burn him with fire, Temple of Doom style.
Okay.
I'm gonna like cover his mouth. Like, really hold him tight.
I'm sorry.
It's like right in his ear, like really uncomfortable. Like,
help me, brother. Help me.
I'm sorry, but I will oppose.
Okay, that's fine. Like, it is not Bertie. It is not Bertie. Come back to me. You need to focus. We need to get out of here. So it's brawl versus brawl.
Would this be strength versus strength?
It could be. There's a couple ways we can do this, right? Opposed rolls are really fun. You can both roll.
Uh-huh.
Or. It can be, what is your strength?
75.
That means you need a hard success.
My strength is also a 75.
Okay. For this, where you're trying to oppose him, where his strength is set at 75, it sets a base. Where it's over 50, but under 90, you need a hard success, flat roll.
On is a fucking unit. 75.
On a brawl here.
This is...
You're both build one,
you're
right?
Both, best set. Yeah, both
you're build one.
One.
All right, so no both penalty.
One,
so you can either roll oppose
strength.
Or just let her try to roll a hard.
It's up to you because you're the one that's
fighting
back.
Go, let's roll
if
opposed.
If you're fighting, then opposed roll, highest success wins.
So strength versus strength.
Yeah.
Buddy.
What'd you roll?
A regular success.
What was the number?
60 under 75.
I rolled a 26 under 75.
Jeez.
That is a hard success.
Yeah.
I am.
I mean, these robes are so, like, big. Maybe I just get robes around them.
My arms are long and length.
Can I jump in?
Hold that thought. Ho-Fang up there slashes at another limb.
Oh, it is Ho-Fang.
You said Ho-Fang?
Yeah.
Yes, you said the chubby Chinese.
It's Ho-Fang.
Yeah, it's obviously Ho-Fang.
You look up there. You see this. I need a sanity roll from the two of you.
Oh, no. I'm not looking up there. Here's what I was going to say. When we walk out, I'm not looking there. All I am looking for is Vaughn and Chang and Feroz.
Okay.
I'm just doing a spot hidden among the cultists.
Okay.
I hear the screaming and I'm ignoring it.
Okay.
I'll still roll it if you want me to.
No, that's fine if you don't want to listen.
But I
as the limb hits you in the face.
Fuck, you missed the statue. I really, that was my intention from the jump, is as soon as we run out is to find them. So my pitch is.
Let me think cinematically here for you.
Please.
You hear the screaming and both of you decide not to look.
I mean, Carter has established this is his usual move.
Right.
Here's the reason why I really want to double
but
down on this.
I don't want to nickel and dime either.
Okay.
Because when I killed Sir Aubrey Penhew, mission accomplished. Right. That's basically how I feel in the moment. I'm like, he is the figurehead of everything. Without him, it's over. So I'm like, I'm finding Vaughn and Feyruz and Chang and getting out.
Okay.
So I don't need to see what ritual I have to disrupt. I don't have to stop. You know, that's what I'm thinking. It could be wrong, but that's what I'm thinking right now.
Penhew's gone. There's still the weapon to deal with, but you're hoping that maybe Feyruz and Vaughn dealt with that. Give me a spot hidden.
I'm honestly thinking I don't have to worry about the weapon because of Penhew's death.
Okay.
I feel like his magic powers it or something, right? Like, that's where my head's at. And I wanted to argue for a bonus roll on the spot hidden because of this scene. Nobody else is doing this.
Yeah.
He's fighting against her. It's noticeable, but it's up to you.
That's fair. That's fair. Boy. No, this is what you're supposed to do. You've made
Joe
a good argument.
Full Pathfinder.
Lawyering.
he's lawyering.
I'm picturing the scene.
It's a good argument. I would love to not give it to you, but it's a good argument.
But look around.
They
stand out.
Sure.
I could also say that there's so much going on that they negate each
100%.
Other.
Yeah. Especially if the ritual is like everyone writhing.
I want to lie.
Yeah, actually, I just talked myself into it. Regular flat roll.
We are relatively near each other. We're just off to your right.
Oddly enough, you are.
Just off. 23 under 45.
Okay.
Got it.
We need a Michael cam for how many times he's probably putting his head in his hand.
Yeah.
You're looking.
He's just rubbing his temples.
Well, I mean, but
this game,
you're desecrating the entire...
The game is meant to be an interpretive conversation, right?
Yeah.
And this is what it is. And you should be, especially
you should be
for squishy investigators.
Denying, pitching and accepting back and forth.
But all right. So you look across and you see this struggle taking place. Vaughn's eyes bulging out of their sockets underneath the robe as the absolutely ripped Feyruz Gibran is restraining him.
God, there they are. Vaughn and Feyruz, there they are.
I see him. All right, we gotta go get him.
We start like walking over to them and we're going, I actually start like doing that in time with them, just like,
just
not looking up, just only looking at Vaughn.
I can't wait Ocarina.
You start walking over there and the drums stop. The fluting stops. The chanting stops.
Oh!
And you see everyone looking up. Up at this grand priest.
Can I just lower Vaughn's head?
Just like dunk him down into it for sure. You're holding him back and they're all watching. And you, Vaughn, at this point, you're out of it enough to know, like, you got to shut up here.
Right.
Everyone else is quiet.
Don't look up. Don't look at anything. Look at the ground. Look at me until we get out of here.
There's fresh blood on the floor, on the ground in front of the statue. Another limb is flung and it actually flops off of the statue. And you hear the crowd like, aw. Like a missed free throw.
Right? Like, that's how, at the kiss cam.
That's how, like, indelicately they take the life of an innocent. Ah, oh, it didn't work out. And you see just a body with two limbs missing just limply fall to the ground. And this small, chubby Chinese man stands forward and removes his cowl. And Marion, you hear the voice and you know it's Ho-Fang.
And he was just says, a businessman caught up in the...
Great goddess of the Black Fan, we praise you this day and every day, knowing that your arrival in our world is soon at hand. Every day, between now and then, we will honor you and coat the earth with the blood of those who cannot see. What we see. They start cheering in unison. Bloodthirstily. Ho-Fang just kicks the body over the edge and the body just flops down, kind of bounces off the statue, hits the ground, part of it explodes.
Oh.
Says, our co-host for the evening, where is he? Sir Aubrey! Come, join me, so that we may sacrifice another. Yes, come.
And I'm going to turn to Feyruz and just say, Benhu is dead.
What?
We've killed him. We must go now.
Do you have, what happened with the weapon?
We'll talk about this after. Let's go.
Wait, the weapon. Did we destroy it?
We fucked it up. Let's go.
Okay.
Fucked it up and go.
And I'd like to start shoving a little bit to just start trying to nonchalantly walk toward the door. Not running, but while this thing's... Because I feel like they're going to be like, where is he? Where is he? Start looking, start going over there.
It's me, Aubrey Penhew.
All right. Everyone give me a stealth roll.
Son of a bitch. I'll tell you what Dr. Marion Wesley Walsh is not trained in.
Do we get a bonus die because we're already cloaked in robes?
Never.
Damn it.
Because they're all watching this. It'd be rude to walk away when the Grand Priest is singing.
Well, they're not looking at us. I got a regular ass success.
Also, yeah, if you guys don't like it, you just tell me. I was just pushing you a little bit.
No, we got to get out of here. I mean, I don't know if we can go up the stairs and not be noticed, but...
Ah! Ah! Guy screaming. Vaughn looks up. It's Birdie.
No.
Vaughn,
if you hear Birdie's voice, maybe.
I think maybe the reason that happened is because I just fumbled my stealth roll. A 97 over 24.
I nearly fumbled, too.
I was going to spend luck to succeed, but I will not.
Wait. You can push.
Push.
Can't push a fumble. Can't push away
you
a fumble.
Fumbled.
That's
push
right.
A fumble.
You fumbled. Oh, my God.
That's why it's called push the roll.
So
push the fumble.
So perhaps the reason I failed my stealth is that, like, against just seeing the silence for a moment, perhaps I do get my mouth free of your grip for just a moment and just like, Betty!
Oh my God.
And they all kind of turn and look in your direction. And then someone next to Marion says, Dr. Walsh? And it's the principal. The dean? It's the dean of your university.
What?
Dr. Walsh.
Goes all the way to the top of the university.
What are you doing? He sees Vaughn because he ran into the two of you as you were on your way to church. And he starts putting two and two together as everyone in the room looks
at the four of you. And we'll be back
right after this break.
Jesus.
When they were young, the five members of an elite commando group nicknamed the Stone Wolves raged against the oppressive rule of the Kratorakian Empire, which occupies and dominates most of the galaxy's inhabited planets. The Wolves fought for freedom, but they failed, leaving countless corpses in their wake. Defeated and disillusioned, they hung up their guns and went their separate ways, all hoping to find some small bit of peace amidst a universe thick with violence and oppression. Four decades after their heyday, they each try to stay alive and eke out a living. But a friend from the past won't let them move on, and neither will their bitterest enemy. The Stone Wolves is season 11 of the Galactic Football League science fiction series by author Scott Sigler. Enjoy it as a standalone story or listen to the entire GFL series beginning with season 1, The Rookie. Search for Scott Sigler, S-I-G-L-E-R, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got a homicide in Springfield's North Woods by mile marker 16.
You are now entering Springfield. Where's the body?
Off the side of the ditch down there. You know, surrounded by all this crime scene tape.
Hello? Am I dead?
My name is John. I'm the new forensic pathologist. I can see you, and that's how we'll figure out how you were murdered.
That means ghosts are real!
Since then, I've noted multiple additional missing case files and even missing bodies.
Let's say I believe you came across some record-keeping discrepancies and a string of deaths. You're not an investigator, Jonathan. Stop trying to be one.
After everything I've discovered, I just need to know why. What happened in Springfield?
Going somewhere, Dr. Spacer.
Listen to How I Died, a full cast police and medical procedural podcast with over 40 episodes already available. Then, tune into season 4 of How I Died, releasing now on all podcast apps.
This podcast is dedicated to my younger self because she really needed it. She couldn't keep a man or a job. Welcome to Brooklyn Therapy. I'm your host, Stephanie Macon.
I'm your co-host, Rose McAleese.
Every week we dive into dating, sex, and relationships. We are not professionals, but we bring professionals on the pod to give us some advice. Listen to Brooklyn Therapy wherever you love to listen to podcasts. Therapy is too expensive, but this podcast isn't. Broke girl therapy.
We are back. We are back and ready to rock. This is tense. Yeah. This is insane. And it might be my favorite episode we've ever recorded.
You say that to all the episodes.
I mean, just the combination of you yelling birdie and then running into the dean of your school, which we found out during the break, his name was Dr. Cartwright.
Yeah. I remembered it.
It's just
took me a minute.
Got it.
But I pulled it out verified. Of the old memory bank.
And now they're all, I mean, you've stomped the head of Sir Aubrey Penhew. You have crushed the snake. Aren't there like saints, statues of saints that are like stomping on a, is it?
St. Patrick?
Is it St. Patrick that's stomping on a snake?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it couldn't be more biblical to just curb
rid of all the snakes in Ireland.
You've got the warhead. Like, obviously, all these cultists are still here. That's a problem.
That's an issue.
You're trying to stop. Your goal was to get rid of Penhew.
Stop the
and
ritual.
Stop
the weapon.
This weapon. And you have effectively done that. You've slowed it down. And if Penhew's gone, who's going to rebuild this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Ho-Fang, but...
Yeah, there's fish people.
There's fish people, but...
The minions.
Not my prop.
Yeah. We also have, like, entire navies that we can put on this.
Yeah.
Right.
After the fact, because it's going to take them so long. I'm metagaming here, of course. But as a player, it's like, how? Do you know how hard it must have been in 1925 to procure a brick of uranium? It's going to
Girl.
Be nearly impossible to get another one in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I feel like we've got time to deal with the annihilation of the whole site. Yeah. But anyway, because I'm also like, how do you annihilate the whole site right now without killing ourselves?
All you do is the small little things that can break it. Right. And he's so far are on our way.
Yeah. The chronometer broken.
Chronometer's broken. You've done so much. It's kind of mission accomplished. You got to get out of here.
Yes.
And you've drawn.
Right, mountain climbers say, like, you can summit a mountain, but you did not effectively climb the mountain if you don't get back down. You didn't do it.
That's where you're at. So you were so close. So close. You yell out Birdie, and then Dr. Cartwright makes you and says, Dr. Walsh. Sees Vaughn.
I think he still has some like remnants of like some blood on his face.
Fuck. Wait, keep digging the hole, Joe.
No, but I think this is a good thing.
All right. Okay.
What are you doing here?
And he like looks like surprised for a moment. He's like, Dr. Cartwright? I had no idea. I had no idea you are a follower of our goddess. And he's holding a gun and it is just sweat pouring off of his hand. It's dripping off the end of the weapon.
People are like, murmur. I find it strange that I didn't know that you were a celebrant of the goddess of the Black Fan. And I thought it even more strange when I called upon you the other day and saw that your home had been ransacked. So I looked into it and I looked into your associates as well, because we have been told to keep a lookout for troublemakers. We're trying to stop what we're doing, so
what?
I was just trying to help. And truth be told, I didn't learn very much, but now I feel like it all makes sense. Grandmaster! There is something wrong here.
There is nothing wrong here at all, I assure you. In fact, I am rather relieved. In fact, I am rather relieved to know that I no longer have to keep this secret from you. To know that we could even perhaps work together to plant the necessary seeds among the student body to increase our following. I had kept it secret. I feared to lose my job should I be found doing what is necessary to advance the plans of our goddess.
Give me a fast talk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how about a persuade or a charm?
You're lying! Fuck. Lying.
Fuck.
They should just call it lie.
Just say charm. Just add some extra thing where you're like, and also your hair looks great today. Just charm.
Yeah.
Or persuade with a... you can roll fast talk or persuade with a penalty die.
I got to do persuade.
Always kids gloss.
Because, yeah, he isn't a great liar, and it's okay. He's not a great liar. He's a good dude.
So what are you doing?
I think something
is
wrong.
He's going to do persuade with a penalty die.
I was probably wrong to have him yell out without having you roll, but so maybe we can retcon that. He hasn't
yelled.
Even
if he says
out.
Something's wrong
I mean,
here.
People are staring at you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, he could correct himself in a moment. But let's see.
I don't think he's ready at all.
I've got some luck.
If you cut me.
Let's see how bad it gets. Oh, it's
pretty bad.
It's as bad as it gets. but I mean, this is the death of everybody, I think, in a way. So I'm gonna spend the luck. What, you don't think so?
Oh, no. I thought you were just be like, and so we all die.
You can push the roll, too.
On a penalty
die. You might need that luck.
Push it? Yeah.
But I can't spend luck on it. I'm gonna spend the luck.
Oh, okay. You can spend the luck.
I am gonna spend the luck, yeah.
Okay.
It's 17 luck, but I'm going to spend it to at least buy some time here. I'm persuading him that we are...
allies.
I mean, come on. There's so much we know about this cult at this point. There's so many details.
Right, so I jumped the gun thematically. I'm going to retcon that he yelled out, there's interlopers here, okay?
It's still a private convo.
It's still a private conversation here. Obviously, everyone's still staring at you. And he's just, I think he's thinking about it and looking at you. I just I don't understand why we haven't seen each other before at any of the rituals or and he's talking to himself, it's like that. And Ho Fang is like, What is going on down there? What is happening? We have people here that shouldn't be here.
I mean...
I'm just really tight on his mouth.
And there's a guy...
Wait, didn't he just say... Didn't he just call forward Sir Aubrey Penn?
No, he retconned that.
No. Didn't he, Ho Fang call for Sir Aubrey
Penn? Yeah, he's like, where is he?
Yeah, so...
Where's that son of a gun?
Yeah. So I'm going to say...
Where is Sir Aubrey? Where is Sir Aubrey Penhew?
He's trying to.
I can't tell if it's Troy's face doing this or if it's Cartwright's.
I feel like Ho Fang would look down at Marion Walsh, who he met.
No, I'm not looking at him.
You're not looking
at him. I'm cowled. I'm looking off to the side. I'm looking at his chamber.
All right, fine. Oh. Something is. Something strange is afoot here. We are here. This is to celebrate the days that are close at hand. Well, what is going on down there?
Let me just double check something.
Meanwhile, it's like, if they start dancing, you start dancing.
I mean, at this point, I almost feel like we have to like get in this guy's face and be like, shut the fuck up or I'll kill you.
Let me see. If there are people that are opposed to what we're doing here in this room, which is the vibe that I am getting, then they would be opposed to things like this. Come. And they bring this, like, teenage boy.
Oh, Jesus.
Forward.
Jesus.
We celebrate this. This is the blood that will bring forward a new age.
You feel tears on your hand as Vaughn is just...
Oh.
Yes! Yes! Celebrate! And they all start cheering, and Dr. Cartwright is looking at you.
And I'm going to start cheering. So fucked up.
Yeah, this happened to us before.
And Ho stands there. Everybody give me a spot hidden.
That is an extreme success for Dr. Marion Wesley Walsh. 8 under 45.
I rolled a 9 under 34.
Oh,
that's hard.
Regular success for me. Extreme. I'm a little
hard.
Busy here.
Regular.
60 under 70. Still regular success.
Regular success. Right,
my eyes are goggling all over the place.
Ho is making everybody cheer as he holds the cult sickle above his head. He stands at the edge in front of this statue of the bloated women. And you see behind him this boy screaming, and then you see one of the cultists that's holding the boy collapse to the floor. And the boy, like, looks, and the other cultist collapses to the floor. And the boy looking at Ho is just like, everyone just rising to a fever pitch. And then standing up behind Ho Fang.
Let's go.
Is Jack Brasky.
I knew it.
Yes.
And Brady just like, and Ho turns and hears him. And Brady just tackles Ho off the edge. And they're like suspended in midair, the two of them. And everyone gasps, and they just fucking hang in midair until, wham! They both hit the ground in front of you. And then all of a sudden, in the opening of the volcano, just zip lines come down.
Yes!
And fucking New China comes flying in.
Don't kill Chang! Don't kill Chang!
He's here somewhere. We don't know where. We haven't seen him in hours.
Run!
Oh, let's get an initiative order here because there is a lot going on.
Okay.
Oh.
Brady pushes Ho off of this thing, lands on top of him.
Do you think the shock ends my bout, perhaps?
Yes, you are out of it. You are completely shook. Back to sanity here. Okay.
I'm...
Back to
losing
life.
My mind.
Back to sanity.
D-
dude, that image is going to be burned into my mind forever. The zip lining.
We've got a shred of hope. Let's go.
A shred of hope, but there is a lot going on and there is gunfire everywhere. A fumble at this point can mean stray bullets. It can mean lots of terrible things. There is still a 14-foot behemoth. There are fish people. There are tridents. There are things. All right, so... There's a lot going on. We don't have to follow all of it. But right now, it is Feyruz's turn.
You feel me go limp in your hands for one, and I'm like, I see clearly. Thank you.
We need to go.
My God, are they here? Is it really happening? Is it really Brass Brady up there?
Yes, we need to go now.
What do we do?
I feel like we need to GTFO. So I'm going to... run for the exit. I have my gun out. If there's anybody that's looks like they're going to be in my way, I'm just taking them out as I'm running.
Okay.
The only thing I want to pitch or put out there is just remember how you look to the commandos. I don't know what else to do, but I'm just saying I have the same issue. I don't know what to do, but
It seems like they're taking shots at anyone in robes.
Yeah.
So if we start running out, maybe they'll shoot us. I don't know.
Fuck it. At this point, they know I'm taking off the robe.
It's chaos. Let's go.
Guns are out. I'm running for the stairway.
Chow Yun Fat.
I am shooting at anybody who feels like a threat.
Let's get into it. I'm going to roll some percentile dice to see what you encounter on the way out. All right, so as you're going out, you rip off the robe and you're running out solo, right? You're not like grabbing anybody with you. You want to get out as fast as
I have.
You've got the fucking warhead.
You've
got a lead case with some radioactive material inside. And as you're running out, a cultist comes up to you with a sickle. So let's just resolve this right here. You go to shoot him?
Yep.
Okay.
Can you open up the radioactive? Radioactive poisoning.
All right. I'm kind of calling this on the fly here, but imagine this. This is we're cutting from scene to scene to scene. So you're running out. You're mano a mano with a cultist at point blank range.
Point blank. I'm going to take the one shot point blank.
Okay. That's going to give you a bonus.
Yep.
Bonus die.
Does anyone know what happens if you throw a radioactive isotope into lava?
This is just this is what Vaughn has been ruminating on this entire time. So like,
I know.
Get it.
Both of my dies are the same. I rolled.
Like you could shoot it with a gun and it wouldn't blow up. It's weird. Like there's specific chemical reactions, right, that you have to do to trigger a nuclear weapon. It doesn't just
right.
You got to split the atom.
You have to split the atom. Like
it's not going
to
happen in a lava core.
You don't put a uranium core into a nuke and then just drop it
and then blow it up
with explosives.
You're like shooting something into it.
Yeah,
in such a rate that it'll
break
the atom.
What did you roll with the bonus?
The exact same thing.
On two rolls?
On two rolls.
What was it?
I rolled a 29 under 77. It is a hard success.
Okay, hard success.
I could... spend.
He's fighting back on the shot.
He can't fight back on a point blank firearms. Shot. Yeah. But if you don't kill him, he will get an attack.
You're not going to kill him with one bullet. It's just
I'm going to spend the luck.
An extreme success impale has a chance to do it, depending on his.
Right, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. She's thinking about spending luck.
Spend the luck to make it an extreme success.
Okay, it's so beautiful. These look. I mean, if do yourself a favor when this is all said and done, run it for your friends. If you don't have friends, I can't help you. But
you will get them if
they
you
give
this
me
game.
Like eight different assorted cultists. And so I had you rolling before, like give me a D8. So I'll roll a D8.
Who's she fighting?
And I know
cultist three.
Yeah, and I know exactly. Exactly how many hit points this guy has.
Right.
Okay.
So did you turn it into an extreme?
I turned it into an extreme success, which means, so normally I have a 1d8 on a shot. So if it's an extreme.
That's that's eight
plus
and a roll.
A d8.
Okay.
Okay.
I will say it is possible to outright kill this guy.
And I rolled another 8.
Oh my God!
16 that, points total.
This guy had 14 hit points.
Oh my God, these guys! These cultists!
I mean, this was a very high hit point one. I almost felt bad that I rolled it. You just... Bah!
Oh, Feyruz!
Gung, 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 gung. He goes down.
I can just picture, like, hand... Like, on Vaughn.
Just... Uh-huh. Yeah. As I'm running.
Marion Wesley Walsh.
Chang, where are you?
Now this is going to be fun. You throw off your robes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And you run out.
Cartwright.
I'm sorry. He's gonna throw off his robe, and he just has to turn to Cartwright.
It has to be Cartwright, right?
He just has to turn to Cartwright.
I knew it. I knew there was something up with you.
And he just raises a gun.
Oh, shit.
Up to his head, and he's just like, "You're a bloody disgrace to His Majesty's kingdom. You're not walking out of here alive."
Bang!
Oh! And he pulls the trigger.
Tenure over.
Yep.
Rolling a D8. Okay. What did you roll? Firearms. Bonus die.
God damn it.
This is my favorite moment in gaming. This whole thing that's happening right now.
Oh no, I gotta spend.
Biffed it?
Do it.
I biffed it.
Spend it.
I gotta spend 3 luck for a success.
Hey.
Oh, 3 is nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not gonna kill him.
But hey.
I have his hit points.
You have his hit points. Okay. Point blank. Bullet to the
just
dome.
Just to give you a little juice. It's less.
Yeah, but it's not going to be enough. 7.
Yeah, he has a couple more hit points.
Okay. But I hit him in the face.
If you are going to shoot, you better kill me. Because I will be her favorite when I take you out. And he goes to swing a cult sickle at you.
Not to be a lawyer,
hurt,
but does he have
way.
To con save in order not to go down if
yes,
they took half his hit points?
Wound. That has to be a major wound.
Son of a bitch, you're right.
I got his con right here.
Push the roll.
Let's fucking say it.
Oh.
Push the roll. Push the roll.
He doesn't have a great con. Of course he doesn't have a great con. He's a season D.
He's a D.
All right, so a regular success. Oh, man. He is a
Can I spend luck to increase his roll?
I have a 45 con.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
That's good, but it's less than it's a 50% chance.
Okay.
Okay, I'm rolling on the table. I'm rolling on the table!
Come on, major wound. Major wound.
Oh, 92! Oh,
92!
Oh, yes, yes, yes!
You got knocked the fuck out.
Oh, my God. Dr. Cartwright goes down! And you just start running.
He starts running.
Okay.
He thinks he killed him. He starts running.
Carter and Vaughn, you are by yourselves. You both have the same dexterity. What do you do? Who wants to go first?
Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, if chaos is raining down upon us. We gotta go, we gotta go. Do we see each other? Like, how or where are we?
I think we kind of got close, right?
Yeah.
We're all together.
There is a fracas.
We're all together. Yeah. I really kind of hate...
My movement is an 8. I'm not far away from you as I move.
I struggle with the movement mechanics in any of these games.
Sure.
When you're all running from something, like, I'm not gonna leave them behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right.
But
right.
The idea is we're all moving together.
And you're dealing with enemies on your way out.
I think Carter has seen how cracked you have become, right? Like, even though the bout has faded, I feel like, I don't know, you can correct me. Oh, I feel like Vaughn is completely...
There's still, you see, like, the tears have cut little furrows through the grime on Vaughn's face.
Yeah.
But he's now behind, like, the John Wick-ass form of Vera Zubrana. She whips off her cloak and shoots this guy. And I think in these moments of violence, sometimes it's suddenly the artillery fire of it is like, oh, too familiar. And the cloak vroom, comes up.
Yes.
And feel
yes.
We gotta go.
Let's go. And Carter's taking his robe off as well, making sure to keep the vial.
I got a fun idea.
It's the
two of you have the same dex.
Yep.
The two of you have the same plan. You start running out. And standing in your way is a fish guy with a trident.
Oh, my God.
So he just, not the 14-foot tall one, but one of the ones that was, like, marshalling them. And he just stands there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What's our best guess? 27 hit points?
Like, how many hit points does the fish man have?
It's not going to, if the cultists are rocking, like, fucking 14.
This is too fun.
No, it's not.
All right, so I'm going to look at Dex here. I'm going to Dexie's Midnight Runners. You're going to, it's two of you versus one deep one. Let's be honest here. Gloves are off.
Wow.
You're fighting.
I've never encountered an actual deep one in gaming.
A deep
one. As a player.
One. You start to think about those strange villagers you saw. Something was odd about them. They all had like crazy eyes and big giant mouths. Yeah. And these are the deep ones. Are they breeding with them? Why were all those women
they
pregnant?
Took out the and Seaman's
they destroyed the Seaman's Club.
The Seaman's Club.
Dear God.
That's got to trap your hide more than anything else.
What a waste of semen.
What a tragic waste of semen.
Waste of semen.
This is for the semen.
All right, so.
This is amazing. Where are we? Are we near?
You got to be like close behind me.
Yeah, we're all kind of.
I want to know where we are in relation to the magma pit.
Mm.
Oh, good call.
Next to it.
Right?
Right next to it.
This is amazing. So I rolled an 8. I have 8 different deep ones that I can roll. And I was going to let it go based on dex order. Because that's what I did with you guys. You guys happen to have a higher dex than this guy. The one that I rolled only has a 25 dex. You guys have a 40 dex. So both of you get a chance to kill it before it acts. I have its hit points. I have everything right here. You tell me what you want to do. This kind of fucking trident!
I think Shikar's like, Vaughn, get his ass. Because he sees the rifle.
And you see, he's like, righto, old man. And I drop into a crouch.
Car, get down and you could put the barrel on my shoulder. To like,
it's like, plug your ears, old boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
steady on, old man.
I'm not even going to have you roll sanity. You've already dealt with enough here. You've already seen the giant one of these. This isn't important.
We're emboldened.
It's about life and death here.
I will take a shot with the Enfield rifle.
Sorry, bonus die?
Sorry?
Bonus die?
For this bracing of it on Carter?
No, it's point blank, isn't it? I mean, they're running out and it got in their way right in front of them.
How close is this?
I'm just trying to picture it.
Oh, yeah. Is point blank always a bonus die? I imagine that it is. You know, there are ways this could be interpreted where I could say, no, there's some more sort of optional rules that like, no, but like, we've always played it point blank range. You get a bonus die. I'm not going to hamper you here because this is literally life and death. So you get a bonus die. What is your rifle skill? Or your
my pistol skill that I managed to get off back in Ho Fang's mansion is 20. Yeah. My rifle skill is 70.
Okay, so this was what you did in the war.
Just like rifleman. Hours.
Yep.
And it's one shot.
I love this shit so much.
Fired up.
And you just feel like you're back on the battlefield.
Well, a 35 is a success.
Hard success.
But a 5 is an extreme success.
Extreme rifle impaled, John.
Hey, all right. So that is max damage plus a damage roll.
Okay, let me talk to you about the damage of this thing.
Oh, my God.
Enfield rifle.
The rifle.
Enfield rifle.
Oh, my God.
The pride of the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. The firearm. The British Expeditionary Forces all around the world and used even by His Majesty's subjects here in China. Does 2d6 plus 4 damage.
Holy shit.
Off the rip.
16.
That's 16 damage.
16 to storm.
And it's dead.
Vaughn!
I mean, you just plus it. Its head explodes.
Fuck yeah, Vaughn! Oh, wow. Carter picks up Vaughn and like there, hugs him up.
Yeah.
How many are in the magazine, so to speak?
10.
Wow.
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 We are full on Vaughn hype squad now.
Let's go.
Let's
blow the head off of this deep one and you have an action. What do you do?
I have
no
idea.
You spent a whole round praising Vaughn.
Yeah, Vaughn, let's just check. This could be a great part in the book when I saved your life. Let's get out of here! And then it just continues to.
And,
I mean.
And
unless there's something impeding us,
no,
keep clearing the way.
He turns to you and maybe tempering your praise a little bit, just looks in your eyes with unfocused eyes. He's like, yes, of course, Major Flewellyn, only doing my duty.
Yeah, you're going to get a medal. Let's go. And then keeps.
I'd say you blow his head off. You start running away. You follow suit right on his heels. As you get about 10, 15 yards away from this exploded head deep one, a hand grasps around your ankle. And it's just one of these cultists that's been shot by New China. And he's just grabbing you, holding on to your leg, Carter.
Kick him in the face.
The kind of guy that just needs one blow with something wooden.
take him out.
Oh, he's literally, to the audio audience, literally licking his lips.
Yes. Do it.
Other it's goddess. So
stupid, guys.
Other goddess.
It's so stupid. I have a 23. But you hear, you see Carter look down, and you hear the tiniest little clink of a chain. As like
he gets a bonus die because he's down,
he
right?
He gets a bonus die. Yeah, sure, you've got the higher ground.
The bottom half of the nunchuck just dangles
Come on,
in the air for a second.
John Woo style, slow motion. Yep. It hits.
Yeah, and then
floats there for a second.
And he goes, "Worship this." And comes down.
Please hit. Please
hit. Please. Okay, I'm going to spend some luck. Got a 34. Oh, wait a minute. That's not a 70. That's a fucking 10.
What?
14. 14 under 23. Ah!
So how do you do it?
I just raise it up and then swing it down.
So bam!
Wham into his head. Yep.
And you kill him. He lets it grip go.
Your first nunchuck
and
kill.
Then does
mark the date. Mark the date. Yeah. Mark it and then just... Chucks it under his arm. Let's get the fuck out.
Feyruz, then... you see a moment where Feyruz turns around and witnesses this, and she does the whole like meme where she turns around.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so you run out of the cave.
Wait. Not to be a pain in the ass.
But?
I have to say, there's a moment at the doorway where Walsh is like, Brady. And like he just turns back. We can't leave him behind. I mean, we pulled him out of that place before. Like, we can't just let him die.
He's in the battle.
Isn't he like lowered down?
No,
by
he fell down.
He fell with Ho Fang.
What happened?
Tackled him to the floor.
When they hit the ground, what happened?
I mean, Brady went at him with all his force, and it was a 30-foot drop. So you think it killed Ho, but like you guys just ran.
Yeah.
So you look back for Brady. Give me a spot hidden. I think this is a fair thing to consider.
Group, yeah, sure.
Yeah, group
turn
hidden.
Back.
Wait, Brady.
He turns back.
Okay.
Oh, 8 under 23.
Oh, I don't see anything.
I'm sorry, 34.
A 20 under 85. I could spend 3 to make it an extreme.
I got a hard.
A 29 under 70.
You got 2 hards.
I think it's a minimum hard.
I'm making it an extreme.
Okay.
I love it.
I love it too. You guys look around in this war zone to try and find Jack Brady, and your eyes are immediately drawn to where he fell. You look there and you just see a lump where Ho Fang lies. You do not see Jack Brady. Even with a hard success, you don't see him. But you, Feyruz, see Brady just sort of crawling like his legs don't work. He's pushing himself along the ground, like dragging his body away from Ho Fang and towards the magma pit. Like his job isn't done until he destroys this, because he doesn't know that you have the warhead. He doesn't know that you broke the prototype guidance system. He just knows that this needs to go and he'll die doing it. And you see him dragging himself, and standing behind him is the 14-foot creature. It sort of comes into view behind Brady, holding that pulsating, quivering mass.
Right.
I'm shooting at it. And I'm going to yell, take him out! But I'm going to go, if I don't kill him. But I've got three, I'm going to shoot 3 rounds at him. Because I've only fired 1 bullet.
Well, are we getting cocky?
At a distance.
Are we getting cocky?
A little rules Ronald, but
A
32 pistol has a range of 15 yards.
How far away am I?
So it would be several penalty. I mean, you're talking penalty die. You can step back up into the fray.
I'm going to run in.
But, well, you know what has a range of 110 yards?
Oh, shit.
May I try to do this at a distance?
Let's get you back into initiative order here. And you can pause. You can wait.
I'm going to use
your
initiative to say, what about Brady? And turn around. Does anyone see him?
And Feyruz, you can point out to the team. He's there. He's there. He's crawling towards the magma pit. He's going to sacrifice himself.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. We've already fucked it up.
He's going to
take him out.
Martyr himself.
No,
that beast. It's going to kill him,
Jack. No.
Oh God.
St. Michael, guide my head. And here we go. It's just regular.
Just a regular old rifle shot against a monster.
Under 70.
Against a 14-foot monster.
Okay,
do the math.
Okay.
Double check your math!
Dot every I, cross every T. I rolled a 29 under 70. That is a success. That isn't,
Hard.
That's
hard.
That's hard, baby. That's hard. A hard success. It's not an extreme success.
29 under 70. Roll your damage. It's looking at Brady. It's going to, like, finish Brady off.
Okay. 13 points of damage.
13 points of damage. Boom! It leaves Brady behind.
Oh, God,
guys. It's distracted. We can go after him.
It starts coming toward each of you.
Go. Get out of the bloody tunnel.
We have to go after... What's your... Who can carry him besides me? Can you guys carry
him? I got a 70.
I mean, we're so far from him and then 14-foot creature's in the way. Like, he's not
well, I
let
mean,
us
I, I'm trying to picture this. Are we sort of around the magma? Like, is it coming around this way?
No.
Can we
come to the north
way?
Of the magma.
We're at the doorway.
Like you're, like, ready
Brady's
to go.
Brady's back at the magma.
I mean, this is as cinematic as it gets.
Okay.
Freedom is right there.
Right.
But you feel indebted to Jack
yes.
Brady. He's as much a part of this cause as Jackson Elias.
I feel like Feyruz would be most useful if she could cover your six and assist with firearm.
Okay.
And if you guys can get Brady out.
Is there a way that we can get around to Brady without the thing seeing getting
us? No, I don't think so. I think we all
think
have
we
to
all
cover
him?
Vaughn.
As I, okay.
I think we all have to pistol and wait for it to get in range if he doesn't kill it.
Got it. I'm already there doing that. So you guys, right. if that's
it's
what
it's your
you guys,
idea, but I'm into it. You
yeah.
say we'll cover
I'm,
you.
I'm
Vaughn.
Cover. I'm covering Vaughn.
Right. Right.
God, just you know what? Marion doesn't want to leave Vaughn's side. He can't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe he could be talked into leaving Brady, but not Vaughn right now.
Because maybe the other from the firm action can come in and but we need to have
okay.
we need to cover Vaughn.
Okay.
How much damage did you do?
I just did 14.
14. Okay.
All right. Well, let's also take an initiative.
Yeah.
Step
yeah.
by
We're taking
step.
An initiative.
Yes.
Now it is active. It has turned its 13. Attention towards
13.
You.
13.
Okay. It was looking at Brady. Vaughn went. It's now turning towards you. Now we're in initiative. It has a higher dex than all of you. But if the spell it wants to cast isn't instantaneous, those with readied firearms have a chance to go first. But you have a 40 dex.
Correct.
You have a 40 dex, which would be a 90, okay? That ties the creature, so the creature would go first. But you have a readied firearm, and you have a readied firearm. I gotta check. This is very, very important. It's a matter of whether this creature can act before Marion.
Yeah, but you said it's not instantaneous.
Well, that's what I'm looking at.
Take a full round to cast.
If it's, I didn't look to see if it's instantaneous. If it's instantaneous, then it will go first. This is very important. Okay, this is where it gets into the nitty gritty. As an instantaneous spell gets the plus 50, just like a readied weapon. You all have readied weapons.
Right.
If you're choosing to fire, you get that plus 50. But because Carter and Vaughn's dex is only 40, that plus 50, this creature, I will just tell you, has a 90 dex. I couldn't find the spell at first because it is a campaign-specific spell.
Oh,
a spell created for this campaign.
That's not great.
And the casting time is one round.
Okay.
That means...
All that means is that Feyruz and Marion have a chance to neutralize this threat before it goes. But you are far away. So you tell me what you want to do. You move in close, you risk more exposure, but you get to avoid penalty die and what like. Your gun is not, I mean, this is a very tough shot for you, but if you can, you tell me what you want to do. It is your turn.
I want to run in.
Throw up!
No, I'm going to run in closer and fire three shots.
All right, so you're going to run up to the creature, and you
not
have
all the way over,
and you have the shots, right? Just doing the math on all
I
your
only
shots.
I fired one.
Since
six,
you okay,
so I could fire three.
Okay. So,
but you're just closing the gap of the range. You're not getting so that point you're
not,
blank.
I'm not getting point blank.
So you're just getting, so you're no longer in penalty dice range.
Correct.
All right, so these are just going to be three straight rolls.
With,
or with, sorry, with maybe, the maybe normal penalty penalties. Dice.
With yeah. just one
three
normal.
Three straight penalty die rolls.
Three straight penalty yeah.
All right, so first roll.
Because the range would add another penalty
right, right.
die. Yes. Or whatever, however.
I don't want I mean, two penalty dice. So
you're going to get close enough to, you're just going to take one penalty
range
die
of a handgun.
On each roll. Okay. She's got a 70 in firearms.
So 77.
77.
Wow. Hang on. Oh, no.
Take the worst.
So the first one I rolled was a 6, which would have been great.
Sure would.
I have a 77. But my second one is a 76.
Oh, okay.
Under
success.
77. So wow. that still is a...
Eeked out. That's one.
All right, roll damage so, because this creature has armor. Its scales are protecting it.
2 points for the first shot.
Okay.
What did
you roll again?
13.
13. Okay.
9 plus 4.
Yep.
54 for the second, so the second hits.
Okay. Roll that sweet damage.
5 points.
Five additional points?
Five additional points.
Is anything getting through?
7 points.
Like it's just like this fucking horror movie monster. A Halloween monster, if you will.
And the third one does not make it.
Marion Wesley Walsh, you are standing at the edge of freedom. Climb your way out of this snake mouth. Those two fangs just waiting. Escape the belly of the beast. Escape the whale. Or save your new friends. Save Jack Brass Brady. But if you don't kill it, what happens next?
Mad beats.
I want Spotify.
Where is this thing? Is this...
Like
Rob's really caught up on this. I want to know because I want to know. Like, look, Kurkovich is always thinking environmental stuff.
We're at the doorway.
Yes,
it's all the way down here by
it's,
the pit.
Yeah,
by
Brady. Pit. Brady was crawling towards all, the southern
so
edge of the
far
pit.
Away.
It's kind of walking us next to yeah. on its way.
How
past
close
the
did
pit.
I get?
Right, Feyruz is there now. Like
oh,
right
shit.
To the
shit.
Right near that.
I
water
wanted to
pool.
Go in just. Within range.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
This thing's not on the map, right?
It's Shma
I'm not,
right now.
I'm not missing
it's
it.
Right where I'm pinging.
How
pinging.
Can we get it in the magma? That's my question. Armor doesn't do shit against the good old lava. No.
I will tell you, Marion, you have a build of 0, and this thing has a build of 2, which means you can't do any fighting maneuvers against it. Okay? Not that I thought you were going to do that, but like your friends would have a chance to do it with penalty dice. You, because you have a build of 0.
Tiny little man.
You can't do it.
I'm going to, and I'm sorry if this sucks.
No, no.
But I'm going to go with my gut here. On
all you can do.
Story-wise
sure.
and not mechanically.
Okay.
I think there's an outside chance that if I ran in there and started firing my pistol with penalty die, I might get a success or two. I might get through enough of its armor to kill it, but I don't think so. And I also think that narratively, Marion thinks that as well. It's so far away. I'm holding a pistol in my hand with 5 shots in it. I just don't see myself able to take it out. And I don't believe I know that it is casting a spell that is going to go off right away in this moment, blah, blah, blah.
You see it marching towards
So
you.
What I want Marion to do is use, is lean back on his best, like, professorial, large classroom sort of projecting voice. And I want him to step up just kind of just beside Vaughn, even to where he's kind of between Vaughn and the creature, but not in the way of the rifle. Just kind of steps up right next to the rifle and he just booms out in his voice in Shanghaiese. And it's just like, firm action! Like as loud as he can, and he just like points the gun at this tall creature, and he's just like, the big one, take it out. It's like the equivalent of like, bring him down. Remember Legolas? Like,
yeah.
Bring him down. Like that one.
The orc is heading into Helm's Deep with the
and
bomb.
And he wants as many as can hear me in this maelstrom to turn their rifles
on the big creature and drill him down in this round.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, if you want to make it a roll, it would be a persuade maybe, but I'm thinking maybe it's even not a roll. You just see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
Power roll.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. So to
it's
really
loud.
Command.
So he's trying to boom it out. But I mean, I think yelling in their language, firm action, you know, the big one.
Oh, man.
Take him down.
Wish I didn't the run big in one. There now.
Take.
I know.
Him.
I am sorry, but I really don't think I would have killed him.
It's not intimidate, maybe persuade, but it's not even persuade. You're like, you're not like you have to
rally?
Talk them into it.
Yeah.
Like, man.
You just gotta like get hurt.
That's why I don't even know if it's a roll, you know.
I mean, it sounds like it almost might be power.
Right?
Or size, just like your size of your lungs, right? How loud can you be? Can you be heard?
Oh, there's so many things you could say. It's like constitution, like how...
Power is associated with mental fortitude, strong will, assertiveness, confidence, concentration, inner strength. Maybe it's
I feel like that.
I think it's fun. There has to be a role here, right? This is a pivotal moment. And here's the thing. I think you could still get a shot off, depending on the, you know, and I may alter the shot.
All right, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a...
I guess you're
right. This is a role-playing moment here.
I love it, though. It's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Right. It's.
But I feel like the lag time between your command...
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think he knows it's casting a spell.
Course.
I don't think he knows it's going to go off in this moment.
Right.
I don't even know who the spell is cast on.
Right.
Is it going to hit whoever's in front?
Could he be screaming
it everyone in the doorway?
Could he be screaming
it
as
your... Vaughn? I don't know.
As you're... Take a shot. Could you be yelling it?
Okay. Give me a power roll.
Let's go. What do you got?
My pow's a lot lower 20? Than my persuade.
Oh, no. Oh. Damn it.
Sorry. I know you were arguing for it.
I know that's why he was like, no, it's any of these other stats.
Yeah. Sorry.
What's your pow?
My pow's 50.
Okay. You got
50% chance.
Flip a coin. See what happens.
Running low on luck, too. Spend a lot of luck.
Yeah.
You can spend a lot of luck today. I'm going to spend 4 luck. For an extreme success.
Dr. Mary Wesley Walsh, leading men into battle.
That's a 14.
Come on.
Doctor.
14 on the felt.
14.
Marion Wesley Walsh succeeds
14.
On the power roll. And you see all these men, they're like, brah, 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 brah. And then you see one man in particular come up. And start pointing at everyone. Here, here, focus fire, here. You hear it in Shanghaiese, and it's Chang.
Yes, Chang!
And they all just start unloading it. They go, blah, 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 and the guy gets full of bullet holes.
Oh!
And it like topples into the magma.
Yes! Yes! Oh my God!
Oh my God.
I run so fast. I run very fast.
His legs are just the only thing hanging out and they drip into the magma.
Oh my God.
Brady
amazing.
Is still like there, just like watching all of this.
I'm going to start running toward Brady. Okay, are you going to run towards Brady?
Yeah, I'm going to run towards Brady.
I'm going to run towards the door.
What are you guys doing,
Get
Carter?
Get
that Vaughn.
Out of here.
I'm going to go help Brady.
Okay, so you guys help Brady.
And I don't even know
that
Carter's coming. I just like, I get to Brady and I'm like, Jack, on your feet. On your feet, soldier.
If I see that that's happening, then I will remain in my crouch position covering them.
But as he gets him and as he starts lifting him up, like Carter just like comes into the picture, grabs the other side of Brady.
What's Brady's situation?
Brady looks like his legs are broken.
Yeah.
Looks like his legs are completely broken. There's just like, there's as limp can be. And he's got blood coming out of the side of his mouth. He's in bad shape. He took a 30-foot fall, but it looks like he killed Ho Fang.
We have to carry him, Carter.
Now, wait a minute.
We must carry him.
Wait, hold on. One second, guys.
Carter has this vial that has de-aged the Pale Viper.
Well,
right?
Didn't you say it was
going
to send him into a dream state that would keep him asleep for
months? Yeah, it's kind of like a hibernation.
I thought it could be like a healing thing.
Granted, we don't know what it is.
We don't know.
Sure, yeah, but
we
maybe we
I
should.
I wouldn't roll the dice.
Yeah.
Drink
it.
This!
Yeah, we just found it in a casket.
Rub it into your wounds.
Forget it. All right, I just wanted to, that makes sense. Let's go.
All right, so we have to arms under his arms. We have to like hold his legs up.
I got a 70
strength. Run with him.
And I still have my gun out in case anybody's firing at any of us. on the way out.
Okay, and you're holding a...
And I'm holding...
Warhead.
Oh, and as we're getting to Brady, I'm like, we disabled it. We got the... We fucked it up.
We did it, Jack.
It's okay, Jack.
We did it.
It's not gonna fire.
And he's just listening, and you're bringing him out.
I imagine he's in so much pain, too. Yeah. If we're running with him, he's got
his
legs
are just, like, dragging along the edge.
We're picking him up.
You're picking him up.
Yeah. Like
right,
baby carriage, the two, like, you know...
Yeah.
I'm holding his left shoulder and his left leg. He's holding his right shoulder and his right leg, right? We're just like, and he's like almost seated, and we're running out with him.
The cultist bodies are dropping everywhere, but you also see members of Firm Action that have been dismembered, that have sickles sticking out of their chest. Oh, it is a complete bloodbath down there. And then you see, like, the machine is like... starting to topple from all of the bullet shots, starting to topple into the magma as you guys run up and out of the volcano and get outside. You hear explosions, gunshots.
Yes!
And everything. And you get outside. You get away from that horrible sulfuric smell that you probably...
Watch the vents! Watch the vents!
You probably grew accustomed to.
And then Brady is killed by a vent.
Yeah.
You get out there, and what do? Do you just kind of collapse? Do you keep running?
Keep running.
Brady's getting heavy.
Keep running till we feel safe.
You get about 50 yards from the edge of the volcano, and then you hear, wait! Wait! Click. And stepping out of the brush, soaking wet.
Soji Taro.
Soji Taro.
Yeah!
He looks at you. He says, what is going on here? What is going on?
We just disabled the weapon.
We did it.
We did it. We need to get out of here safely. We'll explain everything afterwards.
What about him?
He's fine. He's with us. He's with us. Believe me.
What about that?
And he points at the lead case.
What is that?
This is what we just saved the world. Right now, we need to get out of here.
How do we get out of here? What is going on? And you can see that he has seen things since his arrival, since his survival on the island. He's starting to get little crackers, and he's got that crazy look in his
eyes.
The
weapon, Tara! The weapon! It is disabled!
We disabled the weapon! The weapon needed this!
The heart of the weapon! It was a sigilistic machine that was going to seed the clouds with the meteoric radioactive poison!
So what do we do?
We need to find
a boat. Right now, we need to get out of here right now.
Did you see any boats that survived the wave? You don't have to worry, Tara. There will be a boat. This is all part of a grand design.
And he's looking crazy. He's like, there's boats on the north side near the caldera, near the volcano.
We need to go now.
Lead us there.
All right. And he points you, and you go just running through the brush, branches smacking against your face. Slap, 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 slap. You're carrying Brady, and you get down there, and you see the Dark Mistress.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sir Aubrey Penhew's boat just sitting there. It's a dilapidated old ship. Luckily, you don't see anyone on it.
Oh, I thought he was riding in style.
It was a yacht.
I thought he had a
yacht. No, Fang came on a yacht. But the Dark Mistress is old. Shitty. It is really shitty. Luckily, you don't see any members of the crew on board, but there it is. And he's like, can we take this? Can we take this? I could get on board. I could sail it. And he's like starting to come to his senses. His bout of madness is passing. He gets on there. He helps you load Jack Brady on. And you shove off.
Oh,
anchors up away from Grey Dragon Island.
I
say that as I'm on the boat, I'm indefinitely insane. Just on the beach for a moment. Just there. Waving. I see the face of Oberon Doyle. And Bertie Villiers.
Just waving.
Just sure. That. Why? Why? We've stopped it. The revelation. We've crushed the serpent. Why? Why am I not with you? Why am I not with you?
Standing at the back of the boat, just staring off into nothingness, you see Vaughn waving, and there's no one on the shore.
Vaughn!
Vaughn, who are you talking to?
I feel like we all kind of like put arms around him.
Vaughn,
we all come around him.
We did it for them, and
Vaughn, you saved everyone.
No, I should be dead. Although alive, that is.
Come back.
There is no more difference anymore.
Come back to me. We did it. Vaughn, we did it.
We made it out, but
he just kind of slumps down on the deck, kind of gropes around for your hand. Not yet. Struggle goes on. The Lord tests us with suffering. There is some comfort in that. He raises up in your arms, and he is kind of beginning to sway with you.
And she'll like take his hand and probably kind of put him in like a dance, like we danced on the ship. And remember?
And maybe you have the rest of you just here. Maybe none of you here except Feyruz in your ear.
My sin was loving you, not wisely, but too well. Your sin was letting me and getting me under your spell. Our sin was following a love that could not be. Now my sin is wanting you, but you've forgotten me.
Blackout. See you next week.
I've got a homicide in Springfield's North Woods by mile marker 16.
You are now entering Springfield. Where's the body?
Off the side of the ditch down there. You know, surrounded by all this crime scene tape.
Hello? Am I dead?
My name is John. I'm the new forensic pathologist. I can see you, and that's how we'll figure out how you were murdered.
That means ghosts are real!
Since then, I've noted multiple additional missing case files and even missing bodies.
Let's say I believe you came across some record-keeping discrepancies and a string of deaths. You're not an investigator, Jonathan. Stop trying to be one.
After everything I've discovered, I just need to know why. What happened in Springfield?
Going somewhere, Dr. Spacer.
Listen to How I Died, a full cast police and medical procedural podcast with over 40 episodes already available. Then, tune in to season 4 of How I Died, releasing now on all podcast apps.
Hey, it's Ryan Broderick, host of Panic World, a weekly podcast from Courier about how the internet warps our minds, our culture, and eventually reality. We cover everything from deep dives into J.K. Rowling's downward spiral to how a cartoon mouse inspired an erotic cult in Russia. Panic World keeps you up to date on the movements that break out of the internet and find their way into the real world. And so find us wherever you get your podcasts, and you can listen to audio versions of these episodes.